Dr. Sadlick, it's noon.
Okay, let's roll then.
Okay.
Good afternoon, 12 o'clock here at the Naturopathic Medical Board meeting. I'm Dr. Bruce Sadlick. Our Executive Director, Ms. Anthony, will do roll call for us.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popio?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Yeah.
Dr. Rubin?
Present.
Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Tibbetts? Dr. Sadlick, it appears Ms. Tibbetts. Ms. Tibbetts? Is not on the call. We have quorum.
Yes.
Okay.
Ms. Tibbetts, is that you?
Yes, it is.
Okay, thank you.
Hi. All right. So today, our legal counsel for one case would be Ms. Evans, and then Mr. Larson will also be with us today. They're both from the Attorney General's office. I'll move on to number two. Declarations of conflicts of interest, reference number K22-216. Dr. Rubin, you're recused. Civility statements number three. Civility statement, I'll read it briefly. The board has a civility policy that prohibits any type of disorderly conduct that disrupts the board from carrying out business. Those violating this policy will be asked only once, and then we'll disconnect you from the phone. Number four. Consent agenda review, consideration, and possible action regarding approval of the following applications. So this four goes from 4A as an apple to 4U as an umbrella. And I'll make a motion with board's approval, and we'll need a second, and then we'll need a vote on approval of this.
This is Dr. Popio, I second that motion.
In roll call, please.
Dr.
Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts, are you with us? Dr. Sadlick, it appears Ms. Tibbetts has dropped off the call.
Okay, no 1210, Ms. Tibbetts has dropped off the call. Let's move on to number five. We'll do review consideration of possible action regarding the following board cases. We'll start with 5A. And this is case number 22-216, Dr. Colleen Huber. This case was referred for formal hearing, review, consideration, and possible action to the administrative law judge, a.k.a. ALJ. And she came up with decision 22-216-NMB. And we have a little bit of work to do on this. I'll ask Ms. Anthony if she has anything to add before we do our overview.
I do not, Dr. Sadlick. Thank you.
Okay. And is Dr. Huber present?
She is present, and also Steve Mahaffey, her attorney, is also present.
Okay. Hello, Mr. Mahaffey. Hello. I'm going to do a quick reminder. Mr. Larson is representing the state, and Ms. Evans is representing our board. And each person will have 5 minutes, and Mr. Larson will have the closing remarks. So let's go ahead and begin. We have a couple, board members, we have a couple things to look at throughout this. We have number one, which is motion of findings of fact. We'll have two, which is motions on conclusion of law. And we'll have three, motion on board order. It's 12:15 p.m. The board will consider the administrative law judge's recommended decision in case number 22-216 NMB relating to Dr. Colleen Huber. Are the parties present? And please state your name one last time for the record.
Steve Mahaffey representing Dr. Colleen Huber.
Okay.
And we have an opening statement, please.
Okay.
We have a 2-minute opening statement.
You will, this is Gail Anthony. I believe that you will have your chance to make your statement later on after the state's argument.
Okay.
Thank you.
That would be fine.
You'll need to follow the precedent, please. As a preliminary matter,
yeah,
Go ahead.
I was just going to say I'm unfamiliar with the process, so apologies if we're jumping the gun.
Okay. I'll get to you guys in just a moment. I just have some little bit of tightening up to do. As a preliminary matter, I will ask all board members to indicate they have reviewed and have read the record of the formal hearing of this matter. So board members, I'm going to go basically on roll call down. So I need to know if you reviewed and if you have obviously read the complete transcript. Number one, Dr. Popiel.
Yes, I've read everything.
Ms. Tibbetts. Oh, we lost Ms. Tibbetts. Ms. Gallen.
Yes.
Dr. Campbell.
Yes.
And Dr. Spatz.
Yes.
Okay. We're now going to move into oral argument. The board will now hear oral argument from the parties on the recommended decision. Understand, please, everybody, this is not the time to re-argue your case. Focus on the recommended sanction and any errors you believe that were contained in the recommended decision by the ALJ, Administrative Law Judge. Each party will have 5 minutes. Since the state has the burden of proof, they shall go first. This will be Mr. Larson. Then the board will hear from the respondent, licensee, or their representing attorney, which is Mr. Mahaffrey. The state then, which is Mr. Larson, will be given the brief final rebuttal. So we'll have Mr. Larson go first.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll be pretty brief. And just by way of quick background, because I know this board does not hold for or remand cases to formal hearing very often. Because this case is remanded to formal hearing, I assume the responsibility of essentially prosecutor for the state, and I therefore am no longer in a position to advise the board on this particular case. And thus we have Lynette Evans here, also with the Attorney General's office, who will serve as the board's independent legal advisor. So I will defer to her on any questions on legal advice. With that said, I reviewed the ALJ decision. I have no recommended modifications or changes to the findings of fact or conclusions of law portions of the ALJ decision. As to the proposed order of revocation, I would just to be consistent with the position I've taken throughout this matter, I did not recommend submit a certain type of disciplinary action in this case, as I argued before the ALJ, both in my written closings and during the opening statement, that it was ultimately the ALJ's discretion and this board's discretion as to what discipline to impose in this case. Thus, I would make that same, I would take that same position in this particular proceeding. I would say that is ultimately the board's discretion as to what discipline it wants to impose in this case. And again, I've never recommended a specific type of discipline. But as for the findings of fact and conclusions of law, I have no recommended modifications or changes, and I would request that the board adopt the findings of fact and conclusions of law as they are stated in the ALJ decision.
Thank you, Mr. Larson. Ms. Mahaffrey, will you be speaking, or will Dr. Huber?
Well, with this permission, my client has a statement she'd like to make that will come out of my 5 minutes, so I would like to follow that up, if I may.
That's fine.
Go ahead, Dr. Huber.
Four of my direct competitors are board members. The websites of all four, as of screenshots taken last night, advertised IV nutrient therapies, with three of you discussing cancer care. I am your largest naturopathic IV clinic competitor in Arizona. If my license is destroyed and my clinic withers away, along with the 12 families it supports, let alone the many patients it benefits, that would be a crime in two senses of the word, and I think you now understand what I mean by that. But the happy news is that your clinics would stand to gain from destruction of your number one competitor. You seek to destroy my license on the allegation of, quote, secret means, method, medicine, treatment, unquote. Every single one of the nutrients that I use in my IV nutrient treatments and many of the oral ones have videos that I produce identifying those nutrients and explaining their use. Those videos have been on my website and on YouTube, since at least mid-2020, before the events of the current case began. That's verifiable by date stamps on YouTube. That information about the nutrients, the IV content that my website has, is more extensive than that of any of the rest of you, as of screenshots taken of your websites last night. As for amounts, emails between my contract doctor and me in June and July 2021 proved that I released amounts to you when you asked for them. Now, here's the important part. The board attempted to assert false allegations that I used a, quote, secret means or method, unquote. The evidence that your allegation is false has not only been held by you in private documents for 2 years, but Exhibit A, that your allegation is false, has been in the public domain for even longer than that. Again, verifiable by YouTube date stamps. It is prohibited by law to seize a license under false pretext. Arizona Revised Statute 41-1030, paragraph C.
And now I'd like to address the errors in the ALJ decision. In reviewing the ALJ decision, she completely believed the expert and believed nothing of Dr. Huber, even though the expert, quote-unquote expert's opinion, was sometimes in line with Dr. Huber. So I believe it is unconscionable for the ALJ to recommend revocation of her license. A discipline should be stair-stepped from the lightest to the most severe upon the happening of events. Keep in mind here, nobody was injured. Nobody alleged injury. There's no harm to a patient. There's no alleged harm to a patient. She simply wanted to know a trade secret. There is a valid and binding Trade Secret Act, and the ALJ wrongly found that it didn't apply in this circumstance. It does apply. It's a formula. I don't know how much more clear it can be. And so this board should not adopt the ALJ's decision, and certainly to the extent it adopts any part of it, it should not adopt revocation of the license as a sanction. As Dr. Huber just stated, she's already given the information such that there is simply no secret here. It's never been a secret. It's always been known. The modalities are known. The ingredients are known. And the only issue was the amounts of those. And as Dr. Huber points out, Dr. Norton has already given that to you guys. So you have that. So I ask that you completely change the ALJ's decision as to her findings of fact and conclusions of law. I'd be happy to submit something in writing, but I don't think that that's necessary at this point in time. And you should not sanction Dr. Huber at all, but this case should simply be dismissed and allow Dr. Huber to continue to practice medicine. And I don't know if I'm at my 5 minutes yet, but I probably am.
No, you've got another med. Go ahead.
Oh, okay. Thank you. So as far as the ALJ decision is concerned and this board, I asked the board, again, to simply dismiss the case. The ALJ found only what the board presented, and was wrong, in not countenancing anything of Dr. Huber. I mean, nothing. And that's just so lopsided as to be, an abuse of her discretion. And that's all.
Okay. Thank you. Mr. Larson, closing.
Yes, I'll be brief, Mr. Chair, members. A lot of these issues that were raised in the respondents' 5 minutes were really already litigated in the during the hearing. As I understand, the board has already reviewed the record of the hearing prior to this meeting. I believe that record would probably include the written closing statements. We had written closing arguments in this case. I filed my initial one, then that was followed by a response, and then my rebuttal. All of these issues were argued in full in those documents, and the ALJ reviewed those documents, reviewed the hearing evidence, and came to this decision. And so I don't think it would be necessary or appropriate to relitigate those issues here, re-argue them. I think I would rest on what I argued in the statement presented at the hearing. And with that said, I think the ALJ captured the important parts of this and of the facts and law in her findings of fact and conclusions of law, and I would recommend that the board adopt them as they are written. And again, as to the revocation order, I've always taken the position that it was the ALJ's discretion as to what to recommend and the board's ultimate decision as to what discipline to impose, and thus I would leave that to the board's discretion.
Thank you, Mr. Larson.
Dr. Stalek, a cleanup item. I didn't hear you say that you had reviewed and read the transcript decision.
I definitely have. That's why I
figured as much, but I didn't. I figured as much. I just didn't hear you say it. Thank you.
Well, I have. Having reviewed the administrative law judge's proposed findings of facts, conclusions of law in the case, the administrative records, and the arguments from the parties, the board will now discuss its decision. No further comment from the parties will be heard while the board deliberates. So, board members, there is a motion on the findings of facts from the administrative law judge. What you can do with this is there's three ways. Number 1A, adopt the findings of fact from the ALJ as proposed, modify the ALJ's decision, or reject the ALA decision. So I'll need from board members, first of all, a motion, and we'll need a second on the motion, and then we're going to need a roll call by our executive director.
Dr. Popiola, I would move that we approve the motion on the findings of fact as proposed.
Okay. I'll need a second from Dr.
Popiola.
Dr. Spatz, second. Ms. Anthony, can you do a roll call for us, please?
Yes. Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Popiola?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin is recused. Motion carries.
We're going to go on to number two, and this is motion on conclusions of law. And this is, again, from the ALJ. You can either, number one, adopt, which is what she or the judge found. We have the ability to modify, or you have the ability to reject. Again, well, we're going to need a motion, we're going to need a second, and then we're going to need roll call.
This is Dr. Bopiel. I make a motion we adopt the conclusions of law as proposed.
And
as recommended by the administrative law judge.
Mr. Pasquale, I second that. So
Dr. Stad, second. So then I'm going to need a roll call, please, from the executive director.
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Bopiel?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin is recused. Motion carries.
We move on to number three, motion of board order. Final issues for discussion is the board's order. The board may make a motion to accept the order from the ALJ, recommended order. Modify it, or you can reject it and substitute a different decision. So again, I'll need a motion, I'll need a second, and then we're going to need roll call. If the board has questions, Ms. Evans is on the line.
This is Dr. Campbell, and so if the board wants to do something else besides what the administrative law judge determined, and would that be the third one? We would reject it and then come up with something else, or are we modifying? Or we would choose number two to modify it if we wanted to implement discipline. We were just changing it to something else. Exactly how would that work?
So this is Lynette Evans, independent advisor from the Attorney General's office. If the board would like to receive legal advice, I'd recommend that we make a motion to move into executive session, and that way I can give you confidential legal advice in that executive session.
Kim, would you like to make the motion to move into executive session?
Yeah, I better go ahead and make the motion. Dr. Campbell makes the motion to go into executive session. Legal advice.
And I'll go ahead and second Dr. Campbell's motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed?
Okay, well.
Motion carries.
I'll see you in an executive session. Dr. Campbell, you back? And Dr. Popeil, you back?
Yeah,
Campbell.
Would you like me to do roll call, Dr. Salduck?
That would be great.
Okay.
Let it be known it's 12:40. We're back into general session.
Okay. Dr. Salduck?
Aye.
Dr. Popeil?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Gallen?
Yes.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts, are you with us?
We may have lost. We have a forum. I can wait for a moment. Yeah.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Okay, we have quorum and we're back at 12:41. We're back into general session. We are on number three, which is motion on board order. Final issue for discussion is the board's order. The board may make a motion to accept what the ALJ wrote, modify what she wrote or he wrote, or reject it, substitute a different decision. So what we'll need to do as a board is we'll need to adopt saying what she wrote is correct, modify it, or reject it. And once again, I'll need a motion for a first, we're going to need a second, and then we're going to need a call roll call. In general discussion, too, is we're open for that.
This is Dr. Popeil. I'd like to just make a couple statements. So I hate the idea that we're here at this point with the concept of potentially taking away a physician's license. The unfortunate thing is, in my perspective, we're here solely because Dr. Huber's been given multiple chances to just come to some sort of agreement with the board as to how to proceed forward with chart notes and documentation. We initially postponed the decision to give her the opportunity to just document chart notes, document how she was going to proceed with her concerns. We then had a potential for a consent agreement on the plate, had a potential for a consent agreement. I think she's made it clear that she does not plan on following the guidelines that are regulating the naturopathic profession regarding chart notes, regarding documentation, and there's no version of medicine that doesn't need adequate chart notes and documentation, but particularly with cancer care, I find it concerning that we wouldn't have very, very detailed chart notes, documentation, physical exam, et cetera. So while I think the idea of not doing adequate chart notes is a struggle to come to the decision of taking a physician's license, I also would say she's made it very clear that she has no intention of listening and or proceeding forward with any of the board's suggestions or concerns, and that she's going to do her whatever version of chart notes she wants to do and proceed forward with how she deems appropriate for practice. So I don't know if we're left with any other decision other than the ALJ's decision, given there doesn't appear to be any sort of willingness to proceed in any different direction other than how she's already been practicing.
Yeah, I agree with you, Dr. Popeil. I think we, as a board, we've been going through this for several years. I think the board has tried numerous attempts through consent agreements, through postponements, et cetera, to try to work with Dr. Huber. Unfortunately, we haven't been able to do so. Subsequently, we wound up, you know, here today. And that's unfortunate when it comes with licensure for a physician. Let me move it to the other physician members. Dr. Spatt, what's your thoughts?
And I agree with everything that has been said, and also I was very disappointed with how Dr. Huber responded to the board as well. It's unfortunate that we have to come to this at this junction at the moment. I definitely don't want to take away anyone's license as well. It's a difficult decision for any one of us to make, but the law is the law, and the naturopathic board is our responsibility to uphold that law, and I have to agree with what, this is just my personal opinion, I have to agree with what the recommendation is. That's all I have.
Thanks, Dr. Dr. Campbell?
I've considered all of this, and I definitely concur with what the other board members have said. I'm not sure why, you know, when we accept that major responsibility of being in a regulated profession, there has to be a board that oversees things. There's a lot of rules, a lot of laws that have to be followed and taken into consideration and interpreted. And ultimately, not to lose sight of what it is that this board sets out to accomplish at every meeting, is that underlying, we're here to protect the public. Now, ultimately, Dr. Huber says, look, there's no patients that have been injured here. You know, I've tried to comply with the board. But on the flip side of that, it really has been an uphill battle the entire way. Much more complicated than it needed to be. And recommendations from one's peers, I think, are important and should be taken seriously. And so with that, you know, I don't feel that the board should take that drastic and final measure of removing her license. I don't. However, the board has to send a clear message that when the board makes a determination that's set forth in the rules, it has to be taken seriously, and that physicians need to respect that and honor that, because the underlying part of not following those guidelines and rules could eventually have a negative and long-lasting effect on patient care. If we're not documenting in a way that other physicians can grab that chart and understand it, read it, interpret it, and act upon it in an emergency, then we've got a big problem. And that could eventually lead to patient care issues. And so there's a real fine line here. So that's really what I have to say at this time, Mr. Chairman.
Thank you, Dr. Campbell.
Dr. Campbell, can I ask, may I ask a quick question of Dr. Campbell?
Yes, please.
Because I tend to fall a little bit closer to what he just described, but I guess I would like to ask Dr. Campbell, you've articulated the risk of not doing anything, and you're not really in favor of the revocation. what do you suggest? What do you think would send a clear message that would be strong enough? Because this has been such a battle for compliance with the law. And so I'm just curious what other options you even think are possible.
Well, yeah, you know, ultimately, if we're talking about going to a significant stage, but not to the final stage, it would be some type of a suspension. And, or some other things, I guess I would need to, you know, take some time to think on that, but, you know, a suspension, I think, is definitely better than permanently revoking somebody's medical license, and would send a clear message that we, you know, that the rules need to be followed by everyone.
Thank you.
Ms. Evans, while we have you, can you go through what, can you describe for the board what a suspension on this type of case would look like with Dr. Campbell and everybody else?
You know, and I might defer to your executive director. I don't know if you have some previous experience with imposing suspensions or what your authority is in that area.
Well, we can, I mean, you could suspend, from what I understand, as long as you want. You could up to 12 months or beyond. I don't have the statute in front of me, but Mr. Larson, let's see. I'm looking at the statutes now. This might take a minute.
And I'll remind the board as well, if that is an option the board is considering, would like to look at further, that would be have to be set at a subsequent meeting, right? A further discussion and also, as we talked about, the whole meeting process with the other parties.
Well,
this is Dr. Campbell. Once we have that information, if it is answered to the chairman's satisfaction, would it be appropriate for me to make a request that we modify the ALJ's decision and set a meeting with all the parties at some future date that works for everybody?
Ms. Lynette Evans, again, that date was, we're going to have to be mindful too of the certification deadline for the OWA decision. And so I believe it's within, do you have a regular scheduled meeting for November?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it would have to happen before that, or so this meeting would have to happen before that time so that the board could act by that November meeting.
Okay, for the new law, got it.
So I don't know if the board wants to entertain a motion to either accept the recommended decision or to modify that recommended decision, and that could make a determination as to whether or not you need to set this out for a future meeting or if there is a consensus on the decision in front of you now.
He's waiting for that status.
Well, from the statute, I believe the board has the authority to suspend for any specific time period they'd like.
Well, This is Dr. Temple. I'll go ahead and make a motion, and then if it doesn't pass or if somebody has something else in mind, we can roll with that.
I don't mean to interrupt you, Dr. Campbell. I had a question as a whole to the board. If we were to proceed with this idea of suspension, is there any indication that we've received that 12 months, 18 months, 2 years from now, however long the suspension were to be, is there any indication that we've received that Dr. Huber would be modifying anything in her behavior after that suspension was over? Has there been any inclination that we've received any way that would make you think that Dr. Huber would be modifying her behavior after that suspension was over?
Is that one for me?
It's for you or anybody on the board. I said, I hate this idea of being in this position, but I've also, through the years or however long we've been dealing with this, I definitely don't believe ever once I've heard anything that suggested that there was any sort of perspective gained or acknowledgement of needing to make changes.
If anything, it's been going harder, lines. It hasn't been a softening.
Well, yeah, and I can only speak for me as a person. You know, I guess if I was facing losing my license to practice and somebody gave me a suspension, I would think dealing with all of that would be something that, you know, would, whether I would like it or not, I guess I would do what I needed to do, but that's just me. And I don't know if that meeting thing that the new law that just came out in September, if the purpose of that is to hear what the other person's going to say at that point and move forward in an understanding, or if it, you know, but I understand your point, sir.
Can I ask a quick question? Well, I guess I didn't want to interrupt someone's response, for example.
Go ahead, Ms.
After a suspension, is it just lifted, or are there requirements at the end of a suspension to, you know, confirm that something's going to be different? And then also with the revocation, is there a path to reinstating it? What is the legal path to reinstating it? I guess I'm wanting to kind of understand what happens with each of those.
So it probably that those questions would go to Ms. Anthony and Ms. Evans.
Yeah, and it sounds like maybe there's a need for some additional legal advice, maybe another executive session on this issue.
Sure.
I would like to make a motion that we go into executive session for legal advice. This is Karen Tibbetts.
And I will second.
All those in favor? All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Let me know. 1 p.m. We're moving into executive session. Thank you.
Thank you.
That was good to see you.
Yeah. You too. Yeah. Always a fun.
executive work in two general sessions.
Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popiel?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Campbell? Dr. Campbell? Dr. Spatt?
Yeah.
Dr. Campbell?
I'm here, thank you.
And Dr. Rubin is recused. We have quorum.
So at 114, we're in general.
So, I know I'm not supposed to speak, but I didn't want you guys to make decisions unsure of where Dr. Huber was in the process. And I believe that there is room for conciliation. And I won't expand on that unless you'd like me to. And I apologize for interrupting.
Yeah, unfortunately, we can't do it at this stage. We're already into the ALJ's recommended decision. So let me get back to my board members, because we're dealing on motion of board order, and that was by the ALJ. So, board members, where are we? Again, we're going to need a motion, we need a second, and then we're going to need roll call. So, floor is open. Let's have a discussion.
This is Dr. Campbell. I'll make a motion that we reject the ALJ's final decision in this matter and set a future hearing as per the new law at a future date as determined by the board director.
This is Lynette Evans, the independent advisor. Just to clarify, I know the board had already made a motion on the findings of fact and conclusions of law. I think I want to just be clear if we're talking about the recommended order. Also the procedures. It's not for a hearing. Sorry to, you know, be bogged down by semantics. It's not a hearing, but it's a meeting and a conference with all the parties.
Yes, thank you. The final, reject the final recommended order and set a date for a meeting of all parties per the new law as determined by the director. Did that come through okay?
Yes.
Yeah, I think we got it. Board members, discussion, rejection, second, etc. My concern, and I think Dr. Brookfield brought it up, is we have gone through this numerous times for numerous years. Additionally, we have got an email that has also her attorney has received of against the law, et cetera, et cetera. I don't think that this particular individual, Dr. Huber, is willing to look at anything objective except for what she, you know, truly believes. And obviously, the ALJ didn't bring this up just to bring it up. It's a problem. I'm willing to, you know, work with the board in terms of what the board decides, but I just want the facts to be out on the table. So let's discuss, as Dr. Campbell mentioned, my point of view, Dr. Appeal's point of view. I don't know what Dr. Spatz's point of view is for the public members.
Just a slide. Let me state my taste on my statement earlier regarding it. Regarding to the motion that Dr. Campbell had put on the table, I have to abstain myself from that. Thank you.
But Dr. Campbell has a motion, and if you want Dr. Campbell's motion, then we'll we'll need to get a second, and then we'll need to take a vote. You can also discuss it further with Dr. Campbell if you want.
Wait, if there's no second, it just dies. Okay.
I'll second Dr. Campbell's motion. I would like to have a vote and see where board members stand on modifying recommendations.
Okay, so the motion is to not reject, but to modify the ALJ's recommended decision on board order.
Correct.
Is that where we're heading then?
Yes, that was my motion, sir. Thank you for clarifying that. I did use that word, and it's for modification.
Okay. And Ms. Tippett, I think, seconded. So I'm going to ask our executive director to pull where everyone's at.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
I'm going to have to say nay.
Dr. Popio?
I'm going to have to say nay as well, with my explanation being, you know, we've received numerous threatening emails, even in Dr. Huber's opening statement today. The context of what we're trying to accomplish and why we're here today still doesn't seem to be clear. So I will vote nay at this point.
Okay. Thank you. Ms. Tibbetts?
Yay. With reservations, but yeah.
Ms. Gallant?
I also vote nay. I feel the same as it's already been mentioned.
Dr. Campbell?
Yay.
Dr. Spatt?
I sustain myself.
Looks like we have a vote of 3 nays, 2 yays, 1 sustained. The motion does not carry.
Can you say that again? Sorry.
Looks like 3 nays, 2 yays.
Then, yeah, I think the motion fails.
Okay,
so
thank you.
The motion failed. Does any board member want to have further discussion? Because we're sort of at a idle here. Ms. Evans, would this then come back to the board in November?
That's one option, is to continue the matter, table the matter, and set it out for the next meeting. But again, as we talked about, we do have some time frames and the certification time frames for OWA. So you're going to be getting close to that determination. So it might just to be mindful of that as another element that's working in this process.
I think we need to move forward with something today. This has gone on a long time.
Okay, so we're sort of in lock mode.
Does anyone want to make a motion to accept?
I think, was there a motion to accept the ALJ's decision? Was that the motion made?
I don't believe there's a motion for that yet.
Okay, so we have Dr. Campbell, and then we'll need a motion for... The other motion we could make would be to accept the, and then we'll need a second, would be to accept the ALJ's decision.
Dr. Sadlick, is that a motion?
We could make it a motion, sure. Further discussion's fine too.
This is Dr. Campbell, just for a point of further discussion. Mr. Mahaffey did advise that, you know, that his client is willing to work on the board. I don't know if that's because they had conversations, you know, while we were in executive session or not, you know, but that, and also I think that the board could, you know, in whatever we would come up with, we could also, you know, have follow-up types of cases where we put some things in place when the suspension is lifted after it. You know, if the suspension's over, we could come up with a few things that still need to be done on Dr. Huber's part, so that you know, she can provide that information and we can see that there's compliance, you know, at that point, and hopefully everything moves forward as agreed, or we can take another action at that point. Again, just wanted to set that out there. Of course, respecting everybody's decision, but I thought that was important to add right now.
So it sounds like we have two motions. One is to accept or get an official motion for acceptance, and then obviously a second. The other motion is, as Dr. Campbell has discussed, would be to basically modify, not reject, but modify the ALJ's decision. And I think Ms. Anthony did polling, and I think we're at a neutral phase at this pace.
And just to clarify, Ms. Anthony, you jump in if I'm wrong, but I'm not sure we got a second on the last motion.
We did not. So where we're at now is Dr. Campbell's motion to modify failed. And so Dr. Sadlick made a motion to adopt the ALJ's recommendation or recommended order. We do not have a second on that.
So, board, the way I see it, and then Ms. Anthony and Ms. Evans can definitely help clarify, is we have the choice, if you want to utilize what Dr. Campbell is stating or modify what he's stating. And that would mean we come back to this in November, or what the ALJ recommended gets obviously, you know, implemented. Or you can do, and please correct me, Ms. Evans, Ms. Anthony, or you can revisit in November. We're going to need to conclude this, however, in November, of either revocation, ALJ's recommended, or whatever else the board decides in terms of modification. But we'll need to wrap it up either at this next board meeting or at this meeting. Is there anything I'm missing, Ms. Evans or Ms. Anthony?
No, from my perspective, this is Lynette Evans again. It feels like a fair summary. I'm just trying to remember, too, if you might have to have a meeting in between those. That's certainly a possibility that you might not be able to wait until the November meeting, but I'll defer on that one. So.
Otherwise, the ALJ decision will...
Yeah, certainly, again, timing-wise, we'd have to look at that just to make sure. But so it's, I guess I just want to say it's certainly possible that you might have to meet before, have a board meeting before that November meeting. May not be able to push it back all the way out to the November meeting, but there is, to your ultimate point, is there an opportunity to look at other options and not make a decision today? I do think that does exist for the board.
Board members, they weren't clear if Ms. Evans just stated. So that would be a meeting that we most likely would need in this month of October sometime. Or definitely by the next board meeting, or we come to closure at this meeting.
This is Dr. Popiel. I had just one thing to circle back on in an email directly written by Dr. Huber 5 days ago. Number one is she not only threatening criminal complaints against all of us or most of us, she also states in the last line of her email that there is only one option that is lawful in her mind, and that is dismissal. So in her own words, there is no other option for her other than dismissal. And this is the second, third time she's threatening the board with criminal actions. I don't know. I'm struggling with both aspects of this, but I think she's made it clear that again, she's completely under the impression that she's being targeted and singled out, and the whole concept of what our concerns are has been missed completely. So I actually will second Dr. Dowlett's motion.
Would you like me to do roll call?
Let's roll it again, Gail.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Hi.
Dr. Popiel?
Hi.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Hi.
Ms. Gallen?
Hi.
Dr. Campbell?
Nay.
Dr. Spatt? Looks like motion carries.
Okay, motion carries. And the party's further appeal rights will be set forth by board's order, and that would be coming from Ms. Anthony. We're going to need to move on, board members. What I'd like to do is to go to by the B as in boy. After this, we can take a break. This is case number 22-211, Dr. Teresa Ramsey. This is a formal interview. Dr. Ramsey, on the phone?
Yes.
Dr. Ramsey, do you have legal counsel today?
I do.
Okay, and who's that?
Dr. Stephen Mahaffey.
And Ms. Anthony, could you give us a review of that?
Yes. Dr. Sadlick, members of the board, this is case number 22-211, Dr. Teresa Ramsey. The board's investigation in this case arose from a complaint the board received from patient MT, alleging, among other things, that respondent expressed a sexual and or romantic interest and made multiple sexual advances towards her while she was respondent's patient.
All right, so Dr. Ramsey's here, her attorney, Mr. Caffrey's here also. So this is a formal interview, so we'll need to do our script, and Ms. Anthony will start with that, and then I'll finish that up.
Okay. It is now 11:34 on October 13th, 2022. Pursuant to ARS 3215-51F, this is a formal interview regarding Dr. Teresa Ramsey, case number 22-211. The licensee is present. Will you state your name for the record, please?
Dr. Teresa Ramsey.
And your attorney, would you state your name for the record, please? Mr. Mahaffey?
Sorry, I was on mute. I apologize. Steve Mahaffey.
Okay, thank you. I will do roll call. Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popio?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts? Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallen?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Rubin?
Present.
You've received a letter informing you of the matters to be discussed today, the process for the formal interview, and the possible actions the board may take. The purpose of this formal interview is to inquire into the facts and circumstances of this case. The board will hear a brief overview of the case, which I just gave, and then will interview you. If you have any questions for the board or anyone giving information during this interview, you may ask them through the board chair. This proceeding is being recorded to provide a record. Everyone must speak loudly and clearly. Only one person may speak at a time. Please remember to introduce yourself before you speak. And I need to swear in the licensee, please. Dr. Ramsey, please raise your right hand. Do you swear that the testimony that you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Okay. And Dr. Sadlick, you may begin the interview.
Okay, to begin the interview, well, I'll start with the board members. So if I can, board members, let me just roll through names. We'll go from there. I'll start off with Dr. Rubin. Dr. Rubin's questions for Dr. Ramsey.
Hey, thank you, Dr. Sadlick. This is Dr. Rubin. Hi, Dr. Ramsey.
Hi,
Dr. Ramsey, do you have, I have, and I assume all the board members have read the document that was submitted by Mr. Mahaffey. Do you have anything to add to that document?
I don't.
Okay. Is everything in that document what you claim is the truth?
It is.
Can you refresh for us your impression of the reasons why you were brought before this board?
Yeah. So I introduced Michelle to Shaley. Shaley had spoken at the last interview that we had. I introduced them to each other. The three of us had a great relationship. And it came, Michelle was my realtor, and I was purchasing a home. I wired the money, but I'd gotten scammed. It went to the wrong place, so I couldn't get the house. And I immediately started looking for a condo. My younger son needed help. He wanted to live with me. I was able to get this condo in a week. Michelle sent me a bill for a time, of which I went to the real estate lawyer who told me that's illegal. Don't send her money. You know, she can't do that. So she wrote a letter to Michelle on the behalf of her, you know, law firm saying, you know, this is completely illegal. You know, our communication will be now you're not communicating with Teresa anymore. I never heard from her again. Shaley was a manager at my office, and she was making me decide between her staying and my nurse of 20 years. The answer was obvious to me. When I made the decision, of course, she was pissed, left. You know, she's not happy at all. I haven't spoken to her again since. So because they're close friends, and I pissed them off because I didn't keep Shaley as my manager, I didn't pay Michelle for her time, they became, you know, I guess so angry with me that they would turn me into the board. They know how much I love my career. They know how successful I am. And yet they decided to go to the board because neither one of them received from me what they wanted.
Got it.
That's
did you, well, board members, I read a couple times Mr. Mahaffey's document. I'm satisfied with it. I don't honestly know that I have any more questions for Dr. Ramsey, but I would like to make a motion for executive session for legal advice.
Okay.
Unless you can delay that motion if you want to, too. Certainly let others speak.
I was just going to say, Mr. Chair, members, this is Justin. I'd be happy to go into executive session for legal advice now, but since, you know, we're on the first board member and other questions might come up, it might make more practical sense for us to just, you know, consolidate all of our legal questions for now, and then we can go into executive session, you know, at a time when we're making a decision.
Great. Thank you, Ms. Larson. Dr. Rubin, just go ahead and write that down. And then we'll go into executive. But let me roll up really here quick on my roster. Dr. Spatz, questions for Dr. Ramsey?
I don't have any questions at the moment. Thank you.
Dr. Campbell?
Nope.
I'm sorry, Dr. Campbell, you broke up.
Yeah, this is Dr. Campbell. I don't have any questions at this time.
Ms. Gallen, questions for Dr. Ramsey?
Not at this time.
Okay. Ms. Tibbetts?
I don't.
Dr. Papil?
I just got a couple of questions. Mr. Mahaffey, in the statement that you wrote out, summarizing your guys' perspective on this case, one of the things that you reiterated and Dr. Ramsey attested to in that was that there's never been any sort of sexual interactions with patients. My recollection from the last meeting that we had that discussed this was that there was, I guess, admission by Dr. Ramsey of, I believe it was a husband and wife, a boyfriend, girlfriend that she was doing pellet therapies on that she had had a relationship with. Can you guys clarify for me what is the truth with that? I may be misremembering what was stated in the last meeting, but I recall an admission by Dr. Ramsey that there had been sexual interactions with patients.
Go ahead.
That's what I said, because last October, there was a patient that we were in the jacuzzi together, you know, things happened. At that time, I told them that because their physician, we have to choose one or the other. And they chose to remain in our friendship the way we are. And so after we had that conversation, she was a patient for years. I have not treated her. I have not treated her husband. So she was a patient, yes. We spoke about it. They made a decision, and that's how it's going to finish.
Okay, thank you. I just wanted clarity on that because I know that there was what looked to be a very strong statement by Mr. Mahaffey that nothing like this has ever occurred, but I just remembered slightly differently from our last meeting, so I appreciate the clarity there.
I think it was the timing that was the confusing aspect of that. So, and that's why I wanted to clarify it in the writing. So, go ahead.
Yeah. One other question, Dr. Ramsey. It was just something that came up as I'm looking through the chart notes. On this patient, one of her IV therapies had a $25 to $100 add-on charge. I was curious what that was for.
$2,500? I don't know any IVs in our office that cost that. And Michelle got
there was an add-on. It was like a Myers IV, and then there was a line item that essentially did not have any clarity. It said add-on IV, $2,500. The total bill ended up at $2,800, something like that. It just was odd, so I was just hoping for some clarity on what might have been added for $2,500 to the IV.
I have no recollection of what even that could be. That is something I can find out from my office, but the only expensive IV that we have are stem cells, and as of back then, so I really don't know what that is relating to.
That's what I was curious about, is whether that was for IV stem cells.
No, I don't think it was, because we didn't do them back then. With the newer therapy for us, but what is the date of that?
Yeah, I apologize. I should have written that down. I want to say it was like 17 or 18. Maybe it was in the 14. I apologize. I don't have a date on that. I just saw the line item and thought it was curious.
Yeah, I don't know if she did a joint injection. I have no idea what that could be, but I can research that for you.
No worries. I think we're a separate issue, kind of an aside on, you know, the idea of IV stem cells and where, I don't know if we've come down to a decision on where that stands. So not that I'm trying to get you in trouble in any way for something totally unrelated. It just brought up a question for me. So I don't have any other questions at this time. I really wanted clarity on the statements of, you know, of what I had already asked about.
Thank you. Dr. Ramsey, the patient, just so I'm clear, and maybe in Mr. Mahaffrey's summation, the patient that you met in the spa or the hot tub, did you send her a formal letter that you were no longer her physician?
I did not, but Steve had told me, had I asked him about it, he would have told me to do that. But I did not ask him, and I didn't write a formal letter.
Okay. You know, do you remember how long ago that was?
Yeah, it was last fall. November, December, yeah.
Fall 28. And since that point, you haven't been treating this individual as a patient?
Correct. Yeah. Right.
Now, board members, before we move into executive, any other questions that we can get done here in general, and then we're going to move into executive.
This is Dr. Bobiel. I had a question more for the board members. After reading the text message history and exchange, to me, that was more supportive in general of Dr. Ramsey's perspective of this situation, that there were not necessarily concerns, you know, uncomfortableness, if you will, from MT as their relationship, you know, with moving forward with buying the house, trying to buy the house, et cetera. It does really seem that based on the text message exchange that things did change after the sale of the house fell through. I'm more curious from the other board members if that's how you guys also read that text exchange.
I can say I think I saw that pretty much the same way, Dr. Popiel, that when I read through the text exchanges, there seemed to be, unfortunately, probably for both parties, fiscal issue also in there too, which was unfortunate. Any other comments in general? Because what we'll do is we'll roll into executive, and then we'll roll back into general and finish up with Dr. Ramsey before we take a break. So let me digress here for a moment. Dr. Rubin had made a motion, and I'll need a second, and then we'll need a roll call.
Does Dr. Flippy all second that motion?
This is for executive session for legal advice. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Any opposed? Okay. Motion carries.
See you in executive session.
Thank you. Dr. Sadlick, are you with us?
I'm with you.
Okay. Do you want me to take roll?
Yeah, go ahead. 2:15, we're out of executive session.
Okay. Dr. Sadlick?
Here.
Dr. Popio?
Here.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Here.
Ms. Gallin?
Here.
Dr. Campbell?
Here.
Dr. Spatt?
Here.
Dr. Rubin?
Present.
Okay, so it is 2:15. We're back in the general session, and we're with Dr. Ramsey and her attorney, Mr. Mahaffrey. Any other questions for Dr. Ramsey that board members have? And we saw Mr. Mahaffrey's response. There, you know, appears to be some blurring of lines. Do we want to make any additional motions? So the motions we have available are Smith, letter of concern, non-disability order for CME, just attach the letter of concern to that, disciplinary action or letter of reprimand, disciplinary action, decree of censure, disciplinary action, probation, and the last would be if the board wants to revoke, suspend for more than 12 months or impose a civil penalty.
Yeah, this is Dr. Rubin. Dr. Sadlick, may I ask Dr. Ramsey a question?
Yes, sir. Yeah,
absolutely. Oh, hey, Dr. Ramsey.
Hi.
I have read your term, Mr. Mahaffrey, document. I've heard what you said, and in recollection, this board adopted a certain language regarding romantic and sexual relationships with patients, which I think staff could read just to remind everybody if need be. My question for you, and let me phrase it, because actually, before I phrase it, I think I'll just ask the question. What, with the people who are your patients or were at one time your patient, as you were getting to the point where you were deciding whether or not to ask them perhaps to engage in formal physical sexual relations, what's the typical lead up? Because there have been several. Is there a typical situation? Is there some language that sort of goes back and forth beforehand that sort of maybe lets you realize, or is there maybe some physical issues or flirting or something that gets either them or you to the point where you feel comfortable asking that question about whether or not they would be interested in engaging in physical sexual relationships? And then obviously if they would want to remain your patient or not, what's the lead up?
Yeah. So with Michelle, it was how she dressed around my boyfriend, around my son who questioned it, the things she would invite me to do, like hike naked in the superstitions, go to the swingers club in California. I mean, those were all conversations we had before. And they were all prompted by her. I didn't prompt one of those questions. But it was interesting, engaging to me. She's a very sexy woman, and I misread her actions, because what we really had, Michelle and I, was a very deeply nurturing spiritual relationship. Like, we didn't have any sexual relationships. It was just, you know, meditating, and, you know, she talks about Sue, all that stuff. So when this started to happen, it felt different, but it felt interesting. With the other woman last fall, she approached me. There was nothing before that at all. You know, there was nothing telling me that would have happened. So there was nothing there. But with Michelle, there was a lot of things.
Have there ever
been? Because,
Oh, go ahead, Sammy.
Well, just the way she talked about her husband didn't want to have sex with her, her boyfriend didn't want to have sex with her. Like, I felt like it was almost a desire she had without her saying the word. And when we were at lunch and I asked her that question and she said, no, nothing ever happened at all. And I mean, I completely respect that. But for her to say I sexually assaulted her, like, to me, that is such a strong word. I know I didn't do that. I simply asked her a question.
Got it. So have you ever been the one to approach a patient in these situations?
No. I mean, I asked myself, but I thought I had, you know, signs, and I did not ever approach a patient.
But you did approach Michelle with this one.
Yeah, I asked her the question.
Do you remember?
But I never approached.
Do you remember how you phrased that question by chance?
Yeah, we were sitting outside in the patio. We were sitting at this table. It was a time when nobody was around us. And I said, "Hi, Michelle, would you ever consider having a threesome with us?" And she laughed and she smiled and she said she was, you know, flattered. And her response was one I would have probably given too, except what I thought of leading up to it is, I don't want to ruin our friendship. And I agreed with that. They never had a situation where it affected a friendship where it ever happened. So I didn't know how it would go down. So I agreed with her and never pushed her after that. I just.
I understand. Thank you, Dr. Sadelik. I'm done.
Okay. Thank you, Dr. Rubin. We'll move up on the roster next with Dr. Spatt. Any additional questions for Dr. Ramsey?
I don't have any questions at the moment. Thank you.
Dr. Campbell?
Yes, thank you.
Dr. Campbell, are you still there?
Yes. Dr. Ramsey, can you hear me okay?
Yeah.
Now, in reference to the consent agreement that we had offered you, when I fall back and reflect upon our initial meeting together, I guess the word totality of circumstances comes to mind. Initially, in her complaint, she uses the word sexually harassed. She doesn't say sexual assault, at least in this particular area. It might have come up in her testimony or in other areas. But so when we take a look at that, and then we think about, how your boyfriend had approached her with the offer of joining, sexual relationship with you. And then with her disclosure about, you two having conversations in the room, when she was there as a patient about treatment, that was given to her ex. And then the testimony that we heard regarding, off duty, for lack of a better word, use of use of edible marijuana and all these different things. The conclusion that we came up with seemed to be very reasonable. When you consider all these different things, do you have specific reasons why the board should consider alternative solution in this case?
And what do you mean by?
I can address that.
Okay.
First, AMA Code of Medical Ethics was not adopted by this board prior to the complaint being filed. I don't know if the board has actually legally adopted the AMA. Not. And so to enforce that on Dr. Ramsey is legally inappropriate. Additionally, many of the findings in your consent decree were not
are not agreed to. I mean, as far as her using marijuana, and you've read my statement, she categorically denies that. As far as you indicate that she made multiple requests for sex, and that's not true. Multiple sexual advances, I think you use in paragraph number 2, and that's simply not factually true. That she had sex with 3 other patients, as stated by hearsay of a disgruntled employee, is simply not true. So there's many things in the consent decree that are just not true that would be, Dr. Ramsey would have to be untruthful to agree to those. And so that's why she's not agreed to this consent decree. You know, is it appropriate for there to be a different consent decree? I don't know. I mean, from my standpoint, from Dr. Ramsey's standpoint, no. I mean, she knows where the line is. She hasn't blurred that line. She makes clear that if there is to be something more, then there cannot be a doctor-patient relationship. I mean, she makes that clear to these people. It's a Hobson's choice for them. And you've heard Dr. Ramsey testify that one of her clients made that choice to be to have a personal relationship rather than a doctor-patient relationship. And MT, I believe, complained simply because she didn't get her money and she, you know, wanted to put the screws to Dr. Ramsey. So those are, I think, part of the reasons, many of the reasons that the consent agreement initially set forth by the board were unacceptable to Dr. Ramsey.
I see. The third and fifth argument that you brought up, if we take that and kind of set it up in the air and put it aside for a second, and we reflect back onto number 1, 2, and 4, 2 being the information regarding categorically denying the use of marijuana. Did you review the
use of marijuana during? Yeah, I'm sorry. If I said that, I misspoke. Use of marijuana while she's working, she categorically denies that. So she does have a card.
Well, the testimony, as I recall it, was that it was before that she arrived to work still under the influence of whatever she consumed. And when the question was asked of her at the last meeting if that was true, she said it was. But she doesn't recall ever being at an inappropriate, you know, in other words, inebriated to where she can't appropriately deal with her patients, but in fact that she had consumed, you know, the marijuana. And so naturally, you know, whether it would be in her system, where we're just relying on the witness testimonies to kind of underscore that. Now, regarding the first item, you know, utilizing the American Medical Association as a guiding light, I think is very appropriate. Whether the board has officially adopted it, would it be a question for Mr. Larson? I don't recall exactly if we use that terminology or not. And let's see. And I think actually, other than that, I think you answered my other question. And so thank you. Mr. Chairman, I don't have anything else at this moment.
Okay. Thanks, Dr. Campbell.
Nice to speak to you.
Yeah, go ahead, Dr. Ramsey.
So, yeah, I think, I don't think I explained it. I lost, you know, the call the first time, but in January of this year, I had a hip replacement, and I was using medical marijuana to sleep every single night, and I was really tired in the morning. That's when I went back to work the next week. I was very tired. My assistant was very happy to help me because I was very tired, but I was absolutely not high. I would never go to work high. I would never see a patient high. But I was taking it really heavily the week of my surgery so I can get back to work. And I did so successfully. And I would ask you to call every patient that week and ask them, if I was under the influence, you have my permission to call every patient the week I came back from my surgery. That's the only time I would have had been slow and, you know, tired, which is, I think, appropriate for the surgery I have.
Okay, thanks, Dr. Ramsey. Go ahead, Dr. Campbell.
No, I was just going to acknowledge the statement and just, you know, only say again, I, one, appreciate the clarification, but two, we were just, again, relying on the statement of the witnesses that testified earlier as to, you know, what they told us. And so that, you know, and then her statement, you just draw your own conclusions, I guess. So, thank you.
Ms. Gallen, questions for Dr. Ramsey?
I don't have any questions at this time, thank you.
Okay. Ms. Tibbetts?
No questions.
Dr. Popio?
I don't have any questions at this time.
Okay. So we've got a couple conclusions to come up with, which I've already been through. The choices that kind of we have are, we did have a consent agreement, and as Mr. Mahaffrey explained, that wasn't pertinent, they felt, you know, to them. So we either have the choice of redrafting a consent agreement, or we can dismiss it, a letter of concern in reference to the patient, conduct, non-disciplinary order for CME, or redraft the original consent. So I need to put it out there to the board members and have a discussion and wrap up.
Mr. Talon, Mr. Fassbad, can I ask Mr. Mahaffey a question, please?
Yeah.
Mr. Mahaffey, just off the slide, regarding to your statement on the AMA regarding about sexual harassment conduct that is not in the naturopathic, but regardless of if it's not in or not, but this is conduct of ethic and conduct of professionalism. I assume and I hope that when you graduate from a medical school, you would realize that it doesn't need to be defined what sexual harassment is. And so I just want to make that statement with you regarding to it. That's all I have.
Okay.
And Mr. Chair, members of the board, I think, this is Justin, I think Dr. Papil may have asked, I don't want to, you know, interject or speak out of turn, but I thought Dr. Papil might have referenced this. I mean, and I think we've discussed this in other cases. I believe I actually wrote a memo for the board in a prior case on this. You know, there is case law on, you know, because the statute that we cited, and for the record, I don't know that it's, you know, necessarily relevant that we would be discussing the consent agreement in this proceeding, because I mean, that's come and gone, that was rejected. And so we don't need to get into that. But it was, you know, we did cite the statute that we cited in the formal interview notice for this case. That's the general unprofessional conduct statute, subsection R of ARS 1501, ARS 32-1501-31, subsection R. Engaging in any conduct or practice that is contrary to recognized standards of ethics, the naturopathic profession, any conduct or practice that does or might constitute a danger to the health, welfare, or safety of the patient, or any conduct, practice, or condition that does or might impair the ability to safely, skillfully practice as a doctor of naturopathic medicine. For purposes of this case, I think that first clause of the sentence is probably the most important, contrary to recognized standards of ethics in the naturopathic profession. You know, when many different healthcare regulatory boards have this same statute or a similar statute that's phrased in a sort of general way like that, there's case law on this where, you know, a board is citing a statute like that for purposes of discipline or something like that. The board also has to articulate, in conjunction with, you know, citing the statute, they also have to articulate what it is, the exact standard that they're holding the person to. And they have to give that person notice of that standard that they are to defend against. That is why we cited, Gail and I cited the that statute along with the AMA language that the board had discussed at the prior meeting to comply with that case law. And I, you know, that case law, again, I think I've written about it in memos to the board in the past. So I think, you know, the board does have the discretion to, you know, utilize general statutes like that and to adopt standards of care or standards of ethics for purposes of citing that statute insofar as they give the respondent notice of that standard. And that has been done in this case. That was included in the formal interview notice that was sent to the respondent, I believe, well over 30 days prior to this meeting. So I just wanted to get that out there. And I know we've discussed that before, but that's what, I think we've complied with that due process aspect in this case, with regard to the AMA standard.
Well, if I may, the standard of conduct came out after the alleged act, and that's not due process. She has to be on notice that an action will violate that statute or that ethical adoption prior to the action. I mean, that's what due process is. And that's my argument, and as I was addressing Dr. Campbell, is that this ethic rule of the American Medical Association has not been adopted by the naturopathic board. Frankly, it would be easier if you would adopt the whole kit and caboodle, and then we wouldn't have a question. But you haven't done that. So to hold her to that, I mean, there is a statute that directly addresses, and that's subparagraph X. Subparagraph X says it's unprofessional conduct to engage in sexual intimacies with a patient in the course of direct treatment. Now, we don't have that here, but that's the closest thing to addressing anything of this sort. So, again, that is why I argue that it's inappropriate to now adopt a standard and hold her to it when her actions occurred prior to the adoption of the standard.
I mean, Mr. Chair, members, this is Justin. This isn't a formal hearing. This is a formal interview. So I'm still in the position of, you know, advisor to the board. Everything I stated was for purposes of advising the board, my client in this instance. I'm not, I didn't intend to engage in an oral argument or anything like that. Again, I think I've advised the board on this issue before. I've cited the case law, in particular, Gavick v. Dental Board, Gavick v. Arizona State Board of Podiatry Examiners, 222 ARIS 433 is the case citation. It's a 2009 case that addresses this issue, you know, and again, we've seen it before. But again, you know, that's just for purposes of me advising the board, my client. So that's, I'll leave it at that.
Now, can we be making this a little bit better? Would the board be willing to consider a non-disciplinary letter of concern, and we list the two areas that we were concerned with and move on? Or were you guys wanting to implement some other type of discipline in addition to what we had already put in the consent agreement? Or do you think that now that we have more reflection, we can move forward with a motion for a non-disciplinary order of concern?
So, Dr. Campbell, are you making a motion then for a non-disciplinary order of, basically letter of concern with CME, according to ARS 32-15-01-31-R?
Yes, under R, and you know, we can do some type of CME for a patient. Boundaries. I know that there's a course in that. I think it's 4 hours for patient boundaries and whatnot. We can also, the EE. I know that at the beginning of this, the board didn't get the
the requested paperwork from the doctor and in the time frame that was requested, I just memory serves. And so I don't know how, if you guys got a look at her, charting, if that's, you know, up to par, or if you take a charting course, and then we can just move forward. If ever, that's just kind of my suggestion right now. I can't make that a motion.
Yeah, go ahead. So that motion then?
Yeah, actually, again, Dr. Campbell making a motion for a non-disciplinary letter of concern with attached DME findings of facts with the ARS 3215-0131 R and EE. And that she takes 4 hours of DME related to patient boundary use. Conduct for physicians, and then I would like to get some input real quick as to whether or not the physician members felt that her charting was up to par, which includes some hours of charting in that as well, or if we should leave it the way it is now.
Attorney can always be improved. Does have a charting course that's available. I believe it's an hour. And then the boundaries course, you said, was four. So that's 12. Would you want that in addition to her regular mandatory CME, or would you want that as part of it?
So I guess I'm okay with it being part, as long as she does it.
Okay.
As long, you know what I mean, as long as she provides proof of that within a reasonable time, if we want to give, you know, 60 or 90 days to have that done. What do you think?
Okay. Are you okay with giving her 90?
Yeah.
Okay. And my apologies. Mr. Chair, members, this is Justin. Just really quick. There were two different non-disciplinary options thrown out, I think. So there's the letter of concern, and then there's the non-disciplinary order for CE. And I think, as I understood, the proposed motion was to do both. And I just wanted to point out, I mean, the board could do that. I just don't know that it's necessary to do both, because I think, you know, if you're going to issue a non-disciplinary order for continuing education, you could just say in that order exactly what, you know, the same thing that you would say in the letter of concern, essentially, that, you know, these are the statutes that we feel, you know, could have been violated but aren't disciplinary action in this case. So, you know, I would recommend perhaps just doing one or the other, right? So you either do, you know, a letter of concern or a non-disciplinary order for CE, because it would almost be kind of redundant to do both. But again, I mean, I think you could do both. It's just a matter of kind of
it wasn't in my fault. I didn't want to suggest that we did both. That's terminology error. If we could do if the other board members concur, if we could just do the non-disciplinary and do the mandatory CME within the 30 hours that's to be completed within 90 days and proof submitted to the board, and where, you know, the site and where she takes the classes can be at the discretion and, you know, ultimate approval of the board. And I think that would conclude my motion, if that's acceptable and understood by Gail.
Yes.
I'll second your motion. We're going to need roll call. Okay. Any further discussion? We have a first, we have a second. Dr. Rubin, Dr. Popio, anyone have?
Oh, any discussions you ever asked for?
Yeah, we have a first, we have a motion, then we have a second. And before Ms. Anthony's roll call, I'm trying to get final wrap up.
Could you have Dr. Campbell please just restate the motion, because a lot went by me and I was trying to follow, but I don't have it 100% down before I vote.
Absolutely. We settled on a non-disciplinary letter of concern attaching.
I'm sorry. Order for continuing education.
Pardon me. Order for continuing education. And that continuing education is charting notes and physician boundaries. So two different courses to be completed within the 30 hours, within 90 days. And I believe that would conclude the motion.
This is Dr. Rubin, brilliantly stated. I'm ready to vote. I have no further questions.
Thank you. Have a first. We have a second. I second his motion. And at this phase, any further discussion before we do roll call? No? Then I'll ask Ms. Hansen to do roll call.
Dr. Sadlick?
Aye.
Dr. Propio?
Aye.
Ms. Tibbetts?
Aye.
Ms. Gallen?
Aye.
Dr. Campbell?
Aye.
Dr. Spatt?
Aye.
Dr. Rubin?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Motion carries at 2:40. Let's go ahead and take a 10-minute restart.